Okay.
My brother.
And we're off. Okay. So I'm going to go slightly out of order if people are actually interested in following along with the Makaros over here. But I'm going to go slightly out of order. So the Bavli, I'm reading from the Bavli and Sanhedrin in Daf Lamed Hei. So the first line is actually from the Mishnah in the beginning of the parak in Daf Lamed Beis. The Mishnah says, "Dine mamonos donin beyom begomrin balayla." That's the halacha, that all dinim, anything that has the status of a din, has to be done during the day. Meaning the back and forth, the maso matan, the inquiry, the analysis, that has to be done during the day. The gemar din, meaning the issuing of the psak halacha, can be done at night. That's the halacha, right? Okay? Dine nefoshos, but capital cases, not monetary cases, but capital cases, Dunin bayom, the gomrin bayom. Okay? You have to do the din during the day, and you can't complete it the following evening, meaning the night that follows the day. You can't do it that night. You have to wait till the following day to complete the din. Dinim amanos gomrin bo bayom. Dinim amanos, if it's a relatively simple, straightforward case, you can issue the psak halacha that very day. Okay, bein l'schus bein l'chova, whether it's issuing an exemption or an obligation, but dinei nefashos gomrim bo bayom l'schus bayom shela akrav l'chova. Okay, that capital cases you can't complete it if you're going to issue a verdict of guilty. You can't issue it that day. You have to at least wait one night. I mean, even if it's crystal clear what the halacha is, you can't complete it that day. You have to wait till the following day in order to issue a psak din. Okay? That's the Mishnah. Says the Gemara on Daf Lamed Hei, Minayan, how do we know this? And there's different opinions for the Makor for this idea that you have to extend the time between the analysis of the din and the conclusion, the psak halacha, the verdict. Okay? So how do we know this? Says the Pasuk in Yishayo, Ishru Chamotz. Now the pshat of that pasuk is ishru chamotz, which is it's a very strange term to use for this, but la'asher means lechazek, like to take hold of, okay? And chamotz is a term referring to something that is stolen, like a stolen object. And the context is Yishayo is telling the people in charge, the authorities, listen, when you see someone robbing and stealing, lying and cheating, okay, make sure that you grab a hold of whatever has been stolen and make sure that you return it. Okay, that's the pshat. Okay, but the Gemara gives a drasha, Ishru Chamotz. Okay, La'asher means to authorize or to authenticate. Okay, Chamotz, when you authenticate something, make sure it becomes Chametz. Chamotz, like the imperative form of the word chametz. Ledayan shemachmitz es dino. A dayan has to make sure that his din becomes chametz. Okay? The dayan has to make sure that the din becomes chametz. You know, when we go through the process of Pesach and going into Shavuos, there's a lot that is discussed about the different themes that we're trying to hone in on during the Sfira, and the different stages of the Sfira, the first several weeks versus the last weeks, and everything that's going on in that context. But at the very, very basic level, right, the basic level of understanding what is going on in the Sfira, okay, in Sfiras HaOmer, is that there is an inextricable bond between going out of Mitzrayim and receiving the Torah. As I think I've mentioned in different contexts here, I heard from Moshe Shapiro Zatzal many years ago, the word Yitziyah in Lashon HaKodesh, it doesn't mean to go out like you're in one place and you leave and you go out of that place. It means to go out, right, Yitziyah Likrat, that you're going toward something. Even in English, you have something similar to this. Right? When you say, I'm going out, they don't mean I'm going to walk out of the house and stand on the doorstep for 5 minutes and then come back in. That's not what you mean. You mean I'm going out to somewhere. I'm going out to the store. That's what you mean, right? So similarly, with Yetzias Mitzrayim is implying going out to something. And that thing that you're going to is Sinai, which is why there is a mitzvah to count the days between leaving Mitzrayim and receiving the Torah. Because there is an unbreakable connection between these two things. It's not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want us to remain in servitude and slavery forever. No, this was, there was an end goal in mind, and the end goal was receiving the Torah. And the two poles of this process of leaving Mitzrayim and receiving the Torah are characterized by this dynamic of chametz and matzah. Chametz and matzah. As we all know, the thing that highlights the Pesach experience the most is the absence of chametz. And the absence of chametz is a big deal. It's not just a suggestion, try not to eat chametz and only eat matzah. No, it's a biblical imperative to eat matzah, and it's a very big problem to eat chametz. The whole time of Pesach, like the biggest problem possible, that's how big of a problem it is. Right? Avoid eating chametz at all costs. Okay? And not only that, but we see in many places indicated, not just in the Psukim, but also in Chazal, that chametz itself embodies something not particularly positive, as we will see. Okay? So let's just start with the basics. Right? The pasuk in Shemos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling the people that he's going to remove them. He's going to remove them from Mitzrayim. I'm just going to read the first pasuk over here from Shemos Vav. L'chein amod b'nei Yisrael ni'ashem be'oseis yischem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim yisalti yischem me'avodasam v'ga'alti yischem b'zroa netuya b'shvatim gidolim. Right? The experience of being removed from Mitzrayim was, by definite, was a supernatural event. And it's not just the lead up to Mitzrayim. Obviously, the lead up involved the Makos and all the miracles performed by Moshe Rabbeinu in front of Paro. It's not just that, but it's the actual transition from being in Mitzrayim, right, 1 second, and then the next second being outside of Mitzrayim. That is this leap, this quantum leap from being one category of experience to another category of experience. Okay? And that experience, again, the transition from one moment being in Mitzrayim and the next point to not being in Mitzrayim is categorized by the matzah. It's characterized by matzah. As the pasuk in Shmos Yud Beis is Parshas Bo, when they're actually leaving, they're walking out the door. Not chametz. Okay? Because they weren't able to delay even one moment. They were being pushed out so quickly, they had absolutely no time. There was no time, okay? The lack of time and the rush to get out of Mitzrayim is what produces the matzah. And the matzah embodies this. It embodies the rush to leave the state of Mitzrayim and to enter the state of the Midbar. Eating matzah, the mitzvah of eating matzah, is communing with this reality of the leap from being in the Mitzrayim domain in one moment and being in the Midbar domain in the next moment. That's what it is to eat matzah, okay? And conversely, to not eat chametz, to avoid eating chametz, because you can't leave Mitzrayim and enter the Midbar if you're eating chametz. That's what it's telling you. Meaning, if the Jews had, this is literally true, if the Jewish people had decided, you know what, we want the bread to rise, because we don't want to eat, you know, crackers on the road, then they wouldn't have left. Right? Right? They were literally being pushed out. It's either we're going now or we're not going. Yeah? So, this is highlighted later on in the Torah, again, in Devarim Tesvav, when Moshe Rabbeinu is reviewing this experience. Lo tzuchal alav chamei tshivas yavim tochal alav matzos lechem oni. Right? The lechem is called poor, as we will see in a moment. The bread is called poor. Keep a chivazon yosasim in Mitzrayim, because you were left in a dazed rush. There was no time to, right? Chipazon, that word chipazon has the connotation of not being able to think. Right? Where do we see that word the first time in the Torah? This is a hard one. But if anyone gets this, extra special points. Where do you see that word? It's not exactly that word. It's a form of that word. The first time in the Torah.
Avram.
It's by where?
By
you got to be more specific than that. It's in one of the brachos of Yaakov Avinu. Huh? Pachas Kamayim Al Tosa. Yeah, there you go. When Yaakov is giving the bracha, which isn't really a bracha, to his son Reuven, he tells him, Pachas Kamayim Al Tosar. If you're rushing like water, you're not going to gain anything out of it. Meaning, you rushed to make a decision, and you didn't think. Yeah? Pachas. Pachas and chipazon are the same word, like keves and kesef, right? It's the same word, yeah? Pachas means that you're doing something so rushed, you don't even have time to think about it. That's literally what's going on, yeah? They're being pushed out of Mitzrayim so quickly. Oh, so welcome.
Ask the question again.
What?
Ask
sorry?
The question again, friend.
Which one? What?
The
question that we just asked Moshe Tzvi, the second before you got here, is where the word chipazon appears in the Torah the first time. You have any ideas? Before Bo. Anyway, it's fine. We talked about it before you got here. It's okay. It wasn't nice for me to put him on the spot. Yeah. It is. It's a hard one. Anyway. I'm just highlighting this fact because it's important to understand that this is the connotation of this word. Okay. Now. The Maharal in Vuros Hashem in Perek Nun Aleph. The Maharal is discussing what it means that when the Torah calls matzah lechem oni. What is this idea of lechem oni? So in all the haggadahs that we have, so it presumably translates lechem oni as the bread of an oni. Yeah? The bread that an oni eats. Yeah? But just on the very pshat level, why is that incorrect? It's completely incorrect. Why is that incorrect? If I wanted to say poor people's bread, how would you say that?
Lechem
shel what?
Shel ani.
Shel ani, right. Or lechem aniyim, right? Lechem aniyim. An ani is a poor person. Oni is not a poor person. Oni is poverty. Poverty. Meaning the bread itself is poor bread. It's not saying that this is bread of poor people. The bread itself is poor. How is the bread poor? Says the Maharal. That's a really good question. If the whole theme that's going on right now is leaving Mitzrayim, freedom from Mitzrayim, it's two opposites, freedom and poverty. This anios that's being discussed is characterizing the redemption. How is that? She'ein inyan ha-ge'ula, rak she'yotzi ve'ein lo shum tzeiruf el zulasa. Ge'ula means that a person is able to leave behind the thing that is latching onto him, and he has no attachment to that thing that was holding him in bondage. Lo kamo ha'eved she'ein omid ba'atzmo. Then eved is fundamentally independent. Excuse me. He's fundamentally dependent. He's out, right? He's with someone else. He's attached to someone. Yeah? She'eino omid ba'atzmo, v'yeshlo tseiruf el zuloso hu ha'odom. He's bound to the other, the right? Who's the master? L'kach ha'davar she'esh bo ashirus, eino omid ba'atzmo. It's true that wealth, generally, we say wealth is a good thing. But the negative side of wealth is that you have all these things, these subservient, right? These tertiary things that are clinging on to you, or that you're clinging on to. Yeah? Something that is alone by itself and doesn't have any attachments to things outside of it, that is the thing that can merit redemption. Lechem oni hazeh hu baal etzem hayetzia lecherus ve'etzem hayetzia lecherus einu kim bi'istalek inyan atzeruv shelo yeh nimsa hitzarfus klal. There you go, it sums it all up. Ge'ula means, right, cherus means the ability to not be attached to anything. That's what chayrus means. Okay? So again, why is it called oni? It means that the bread is as simple as it possibly can be. Right? You can't add any other extraneous ingredients into the matzah. Anything else makes it either chametz or at the very least invalid to be matzah. Matzah, in order to be yotzei, the mitzvah, can't have anything else in it. It's just the bare basics of making bread. Water and grain. That's it. Yeah? There's a discussion in the Rishonim about adding salt. Rashi is mistapik if salt will, you know, increase the speed of the chimutz, but other Rishonim are very clear that it doesn't do that. Anyway, be it as it may, the point is that matzah has to be, right, the bare bones specific, the bare bones minimum. Okay, what we're talking about in matzah is the ability to leave the state of Mitzrayim, which was clinging attachment, and being able to go out into detached, independent freedom. This is not a simple thing. Okay. Leaving Mitzrayim, we sometimes think of, right, if you, I mean, if you, if you just read the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim without the context of the rest of the Midbar story, you might come away with the impression that Mitzrayim was just this horrible, you know, hellhole of an experience, and there was nothing positive about it at all, and they were just dying to get out at any minute, right? If you even just a reading of the Psukim throughout the Midbar experience shows you that that's not true at all, right? In fact, we're going to read in this week's Parsha an example of that. The Jewish people are complaining about the lack of certain things that they had in Mitzrayim they don't have now. Yeah? This is actually a Mechilta. I just remember. This is actually a Mechilta in this week's Parsha. Excuse me. It's not a Mechilta in this week's... I forget. Don't quote me on that. Anyway, it's a Mechilta in Tes Zayin Gimel. Amar lahem levat... Mi yitein musenu biyad Hashem. Right? If only we had died by God's hand when we were already in Mitzrayim and we didn't have to go out and die this horrible death in the desert. Right? Zachon b'shiftenu asir avasar. We remember when we were in Mitzrayim and we were able to sit by the flesh pots and eat. Rabbi Lezer Hamodai Omer Avadim Hayo Yisrael l'malachim b'Mitzrayim. The Jewish people were slaves, but they were slaves of the nobility in Egypt. Yatzu lashuk notlin pas basar v'dogim v'chol davar v'ein kol bria mocha v'yadam. There were perks for being the slave of a noble person, of the hierarchy of the country. There are perks. Okay, so you're a slave, but you get to, you know, you get to take on the tab of your boss. Yeah? So you go out to the marketplace, right? Yatzu lashuk, and you just order whatever you want. It's like free room service. Limited, right? Unlimited. The hold of Ein Bria Mocha B'Yadim, and no one would object to this, right? They could just do whatever they wanted. If Yosi Amar Teda Shalom Nosan Lahem Eila Ba'achrona, Lekach Nemer, Etzak Yishuim Shahayu Kashim L'me'ayim. Right? Even the things that were subsumably, right, they were actually bad for them to eat, right? Like this vegetable kishuim, it's not exactly clear what that vegetable is. Some equate it with like, you know, squash or zucchini or whatever, it doesn't matter. The point is that they, right, even the things that were not really good for their health, they were remembering, oh wow, I remember those were the good old days where we had, those were the good old days in, right, in enslavement in Egypt. That's what they were saying, okay? So to leave this ashirus, this attachment to all these extraneous things, and to go out of Mitzrayim into a state of Oni. Again, Oni doesn't mean poverty per se, but it means a state of complete detachment. It's not a simple thing. Yeah? This is what it was required. The lack of chametz and the eating of matzah, again, embodies this willingness to leave the state of comfort where you are now, the state of the known, and to go out immediately without any hesitancy. The chipazon. The chipazon, where you're not even thinking. You just go with it. You go with it into the state of the midbar. Tov. The interesting thing, I said before we started this, that the two poles of the flow from Mitzrayim to Shavuos, right? Meaning Pesach and Shavuos are embodied by the two poles of Chametz and Matzah. What's the one place that was kosher for Pesach all year around? Huh? The Mikdash. Why is that? Because all the korbanos had to be matzah. All the korbanos had to be matzah. Huh? The toda is true, but it's not an obligation. It's not an obligation. Meaning, what?
They still brought it in.
Nachon. Oh, so, okay, wait. So a point was brought up now that it's important to clarify. It's actually an important point, you know, from alumnus' perspective. The prohibition of eating chametz, okay, whether it's the prohibition on Pesach or the prohibition in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash rather, the prohibition of eating chametz does not include the tam of chametz, meaning like to cook something in a kli that chametz was cooked in, or to eat, to eat chametz mixed into something else.
You said Pesach as well.
Pesach as well. Yes. Listen to the end. For Pesach, there is a special drasha, an additional mitzvah. The Rambam counts this as an additional mitzvah of the prohibition of eating ta'aroves chametz. According to the Rambam, there is one isser of eating chametz and another isser of eating ta'aroves chametz. Now, why is that? Listen, this is actually important to know. Because the prohibition of eating chametz is not the prohibition of eating a specific thing. It's not like the prohibition of eating chazir or eating, you know, shellfish or eating something like that, which is saying this specific entity don't eat. Rather, what? It's a prohibition against eating something prepared in a certain way. It's not saying that you know, barley and wheat are prohibited from the Torah. It's saying that barley and wheat prepared in a certain way, you can't eat. Okay? But to then take that jump and say, if you prepare the wheat in a certain way, then the blia, the tam from that, is also prohibited, that's a chiddush that we don't know from the bare bones prohibition. Right? It's like telling me, don't eat your steak well done. Right? Like, don't cook your steak in a certain way. I can infer from that if there is a blia from steak, usually is fine. It's fine. So what's the problem if this well done? Fine, I won't eat the steak well done. But so if the blia from the steak well done goes into something else, that's also a problem. Right? In order to infer that, that's a chiddush. That's a chiddush. Yeah. So there's an additional prohibition. Okay. Of eating. Yes. It is doraisa, but it's not kares. There's no kares because kares is only on eating chametz actual like chametz mamish. But there's only a lav of eating tarovas chametz. Yes, there's a difference of eating a kazayas because the achilas pras, not the achilas pras if it's bakal barov or not bakal barov. Yes, there are distinctions there. But the pashtus is that only eating chametz is a chi of kares and not eating tarovas chametz. So, where are we going with this? Right. So in the mikdash, it's true that you couldn't bring an actual karban of chametz, okay? But bringing other things occasionally that were chametz, like, as we said, the karban toda, there were karbanos toda that were brought in some regular base in the mikdash, okay? That's not a problem. It's not going to, like, mess up anything else. Anyway, there's for sure more to say on that, but that's just the simple understanding. But there's only one karban that is a chova, that has to be brought, and it must be brought chametz. Not the Omer. Just the Alechem. The Shtei Alechem is the only karban that must be made with chametz. It has to be made with chametz. If it's not chametz, you're not Yosef. Okay? So we go from Pesach, which is the prohibition, and again, not just a small prohibition, but like the biggest prohibition ever, okay, not to eat chametz, and to only eat matzah, to Shavuos, where not only can you eat chametz, but you have to eat chametz. Okay? We're going to read now from the Zohar, Mechelet Beis in Daf Kuf Pei Gimel. I had it translated over here into Hebrew, so it's a little bit of an easier read. Shnei lechamim ochlu l'Yisrael. There are two types of bread that were eaten by the Jewish people. Echad kishiyotzu m'mitzrayim ochlu matzah lechem oni. The first bread was matzah. The echad b'midbar lechem min hashomayim, meaning the man. Echad b'pesach, the echad b'shavuos. Meaning the man, says the Zohar, the man was a foreshadowing of the shtei halechem, okay? Or perhaps it's better to say in the opposite way. The shtei halechem is a reliving of the man experience every year. Okay? Kamo shekosev hinen imamtir lechem lechem min hashamayim. Ve'al zeh karbon v'shavuos lechem hu, v'al alechem makrivim shar karbonos achad. That the primary karbon on shavuos is the lechem, which is the opposite of regular karbonos. Usually, the primary aspect of a karbon is the animal. And then the bread is just like, you know, the side dish, so to speak. Okay? But on Shavuos is not like that. The lechem is the primary karbon. And the animals are like the appendages, so to speak, on the Shtei HaLechem. Shenemar v'yikravtim al halechem shivas kvasim. And the pasuk, it says, on the bread you'll bring seven kvasim. Shezeu halechem shechkimu bo Yisrael chachma elyona. With this bread, the Jewish people achieved sublime wisdom. Shalat Torah v'nichnesu b'drachem, were able to integrate into its ways. Moshe l'melech shahayelo ben yachid v'hayachole. Understanding this flow from matzah to chametz is like this: a king who has a child who's sick. Yom echad hisora leben te'avon le'echol. The son wants to eat. Okay, right? He's getting better. Right? He's recovering. He's slowly recovering, and he now has an appetite. He wants to eat something. Amru yochol ben hamelech hasarafua azu. Okay, take it easy. Don't like go into the don't go into the heavy food right away. Okay, first eat this type of food. As long as you're eating this type of food, this healing food, don't eat any other type of food. Stay on this diet for a week or two, okay? Osukach, he followed that regimen. After that, he can go back to eating normal food, he can eat whatever he wants, nothing will harm him. Kach kishiyotzi yisrael mitzrayim, lo hayu yodin ikar v'sod ha'emuna. The Jewish people were as yet, when they were in Mitzrayim, they were unfamiliar, right, with the Sod HaEmuna, Raza de Mehemnusa, is the Lashon of the Zohar. They were unfamiliar with the secret of faith. Amar Gadosh Baruch Hu, Tama Yisrael Refuah Zu. So what do they have to do in order to become familiar with emunah? What do you do in order to become familiar with emunah? You eat matzah, of course. That's the refuah, right? The refuah for lack of faith is matzah. And the whole time that you're eating this healing food, don't eat anything else. You got to be on a steady diet of amuna food. Okay? And they were able to reacquire the raza de amusa, the secret of faith. It can no longer damage you. Rabosai, how is matzah the refuah, the food that gives you faith? In light of everything that we just said about the dynamic of why they couldn't eat chametz and why they were eating matzah, why is it the food of faith? Because it embodies the faith experience of leaving Mitzrayim. The Jewish people, they were not, right? They were kind of sort of attached to Mitzrayim. Yes, they complained, they wanted to get out, it was difficult, but in the end of the day, things were comfortable in Mitzrayim. Things were very comfortable in Mitzrayim. And they were being forced to be pushed out into where? Into where? Into Eretz Yisrael? No, into a midbar. They weren't going into Eretz Yisrael straight away. They're going into a desolate wasteland. Lechtech acharai b'midbar b'eretz lo zeruah. That's the chesed ne'urai for Jewish people, that they followed God blindly into the desert. And that chipazon, the chipazon without thinking. There's no thinking here. Right, it's an intuitive. I gotta make a leap of faith, as we discussed in another context. Pesach means to leap. That's what it means. Right, it's true that it's God leaping, but we're also leaping. This is the Pesach, the leap of faith. We're just going out. The chifazon. Don't think about it. Just go. And what is the food that literally embodies that experience? The food that embodies that experience is the matzah. Because again, that's why it couldn't become chametz. It couldn't become chametz because you had to go right away. If you waited for it to become chametz, then you weren't going. You were thinking, you were analyzing cost-benefit. I don't know, if I stay in Mitzrayim, I'll have a better 401k, maybe my kids. No, you just go. That is the experience of leaving Mitzrayim, and the food that literally embodies that experience is the matzah. And says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, while you're going through that rehabilitation back into Emunah, don't eat anything else. This is the diet to reconstitute yourself. To reconstitute yourself and bring yourself back into Emunah. And walking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar, again, I think we've said this in multiple contexts. Walking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar, Perush. This is the foundational context in which the Jewish people existed when they first became a nation, and it remains that foundational context today. Right? As the Shochar Tov says, Gam ki elech begeit salmoves, lo yiraro ki atoi madi, begeit salmoves, zu midbar sina. Right? The valley of the shadow of death, that's talking about the wasteland, the wilderness of Sinai. Right? Where there was no food, no water, no nothing. All you had was the Anan Yaakovim. That's all you had. And that is the foundational experience of Klal Yisrael, which is ultimately where we're existing all the time. It doesn't matter where we happen to be geographically, where we are ultimately is ensconced in the Anan Yaakovod, walking through the Midbar with God. That is where we are all the time. Now, transition. Again, we have to transition now. This is not only about, you know, why chametz is so bad and matzah is so good. There's a transition. Right? We're obligated. It's incumbent upon us to get to Sinai and to eat chametz, right? To eat the food that acquires the chachma elyona, the chachma elyona. Okay, Rabosai, if matzah embodies the mechel of the me'emnusa, the food of faith, of leaping without thinking, of being into, right, of going into the place of intuition and just going with it, knowing that you have to do it and you just go without overanalyzing it. If that's what matzah embodies, then what does chametz embody? That's the first gemara that we quoted, Rabosai. It's the first gemara. Chamotz, lachmitz es hadin. Chametz means the development of the independent consciousness. That's what it means. Lachmitz es hadin. Lachmitz es hadin. Take your time. Think about it. Analyze it. Ruminate over it. Nyatiyem etunim badin, as the Mishnah Novel says. Don't rush to conclusions. It's the opposite of Mitzrayim. Right? It's the opposite of leaving Mitzrayim. There are certain times where you need to take a leap of faith. Right? But once you're capable of taking that leap of faith, once you're in tune with your deepest intuitions, once you're in tune with that, then you can go to the next step and develop into something more sophisticated and more thought out. More self, so to speak. Right? And that is the lechem min hashamayim, the bread from above, that allows a person to acquire the chachma elyona.
There are a few sections here from Derech Mitzvah Secha, which I'll let you, from the Tzemach Tzedek, which are very worthwhile going over, but for sake of time, we're not going to go through them right now. We'll just end off over here with the Gemara in Chulin, Bavli in Chulin. V'chol hecha dechsev behema griusahi, says the Gemara, is it true that in all contexts in the Kisvei HaKodesh, calling someone an animal is a negative thing? V'chol ksiv, we see in Tehillim Lamed Vav, Adam uvehema toshia Hashem, that having this attribute of an animal is good because God will save you if you're an animal, right? The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, what does that mean that it's good to be an animal? Elu b'nei Adam shehim arumin bedas u'mesimin atzmam kibehema. They are clever and developed in their knowledge and their consciousness, but they make themselves like an animal. Meaning, I don't know anything. Tehillim Ayin Gimel, it was kedai to bring this makor. We'll just quote it Baal Peh if you don't mind. This is Shir Mizmor Livnei Asaf. Tehillim Ayin Gimel, it is Asaf, one of the descendants of Korach, who's experiencing the nightmare of the Babylonian destruction and exile. Okay? It could be that he's talking about Sancheirav, actually, but be that as it may, it's a very, very bad period of Jewish history. Okay? And he's complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could you let this happen? Right? All your tzaddikim are being slaughtered, and the Mikdash is being threatened, and people are being thrown into gullus. How could you let all this happen? And at the very end of the Tehillim, right, also says, right, Aval, Behemos ani imach. Behemos ani imach. I am an animal with you. What does that mean, I am an animal with you? It means, in the end of the day, I have no idea what's going on. I'm observing what's in front of me, and I see that on the surface level, this looks really, really bad. But in the end of the day, behemos ani imach. I am an animal with you. Right? Adam uvehema toshia Hashem. A person has to have the attribute of an Adam, arumin bedas, with a developed consciousness, but with also the ability to make themselves like an animal. Animal perush, no das. That's what an animal means, right? In this context, right? Without any das, without any knowledge or understanding. in the Bavli in Megillah, right? It's a relatively well-known Bavli, but just to hash this out in the context of what we've been speaking about now. Amr b'chia baraba, Amr b'yochanan, ma'idichsev ve'aleim kechol advarim asher diber Hashem imochem bahar. When Moshe is describing the original tablets that were brought down at Sinai, and he says that on these tablets were all of the things that God spoke with you on the mountain. Says the Gemara, malamed sheheru HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'Moshe dikdukei Torah v'dikdukei Sofrim u'masha Sofrim atidim l'chadesh. Every single insight that would ever be innovated by any Talmud Chacham throughout the generations was shown to Moses at Sinai. Yeah? Now, that's a pretty astounding thing, right? Not only is it astounding on its face, but it's astounding from, you know, other stories that we see in Chazal that Moshe Rabbeinu Dafka wasn't so equated with the Torah Shebaal Peh, right? Who were we talking about this in the Gemara in Menachos with Rabbi Akiva? Who was I talking about this? Right. The Gemara in Yevamos, excuse me, in Menachos with Rabbi Akiva, that Moshe sees into the future prophetically the Chachmei Yisrael that would develop the Torah Shebaal Peh with drashos, the psukim that Moshe ultimately brings down. But it would be Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues that would unpack all of the richness that was contained in the Torah that Moshe wasn't privy to. What does this mean, Rabosa? What it means is that in potentiality there was something brought down in Har Sinai, which was contained in it the full spectrum of possibility of what we are meant to take out of it. Of what we are meant to take out with our own das. Midrash Shochar Tov, or Midrash Tehillim. However you want to say it. Either Shochar Tov or Tehillim, whatever. Perek Yud Beis, Amar Rabbi Yonai, Lo Nitna Divrei Torah Chatuchin. Torah was not given cut up. What does that mean, it wasn't given cut up? When you give a little child a big plate of food, and there's a huge piece of, you know, whatever, huge piece of meat on the plate, he says, Ima, cut it up for me. I can't eat it like this. A small child, he can't eat a huge piece of food like that. He has to have it cut up into small pieces. And I mean, the younger the child is, the more finely it has to be cut up, as we all know, right? Torah was not given like that. Torah was not given neatly cut up so you can digest it easily. It was not given like that. And the cold davar v'davar shayah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer l'Moshe hayo omer mem tespanim tar u'mem tespanim tamei. Every single mitzvah, every single aspect of Torah that was given over at Sinai, there were 49 possibilities this way and 49 possibilities that way. and you had to determine which one was which. Says Moshe, how are we supposed to deal with this? This is like, right, to quote Churchill, it's an enigma wrapped in a riddle, there's nothing we can do with this, I'll give you a simple mechanism. Listen, in the end of the day, if the majority says tar, it's tar. If the majority says tame, it's tame. That's how you work it out, right? That's not, right. Which by the way, is highlighting a very, very important yisod. That just because the majority happens to say this, that just means that this is how we have to act in practice. It's not saying this is the ultimate truth, right? In fact, the halakha is, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Mamrin, that if any Beis Din at any point in history decides a conclusion contrary to a previous Beis Din at any point in history, even if they're not Gedolim Minyan B'Chachma Minyan, Gedolim B'Chachma Minyan is only to reverse a takana, but to reverse a ruling of Beis Din, any Sanhedrin at any period of history can reverse any ruling of any other Sanhedrin automatically, right? So it's not. It happens to be that if the majority at that time say go like this, then this is how we practice. But it's not to invalidate the possible truth or a possible insight, rather, let's say, of the other side. Yeah. But the point was germane to our conversation. I'm sorry, you were going to say something? Huh? That's a good question. Minastam, yes. Yes. If the Sanhedrin Hagidola gives the Sanhedrin didn't give a ruling on every single little thing. It's kind of like the Hapdala Supreme Court. Supreme Court does give precedent, right? It gives precedent for every other court, but they don't deal with every single possible ruling, right? The majority of things don't come to the Supreme Court. Even the things that come to the Supreme Court, not everything do they decide to take on, right? But the rulings that the Sanhedrin does make, then that is, right? It is obligatory on everyone, right? Amud Ha'ora, as the Rambam says in the first halacha of Mamre. Right?
Only a later Sanhedrin would go on the
Correct. That's the passions, yes. So where are we going with this? Right. So just to highlight what's germane to our conversation, right? The point is, Moshe Rabbeinu receives the Torah, and it's not chatuchin. What does chatuchin mean? It's not accessible or digestible. You can't do anything with it. It has to be processed. It has to be processed. And says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't worry. The processing is your domain. Don't think that just because I gave this to you in an unaccessible fashion that it's unaccessible. No. this is your job. This is your job. And the very experience of Sinai itself is the thing that imbues the person with the ability to do this. It's the lechem in ha-shamayim, right? That infuses the person with the chachma al-yam. And again, arriving at this conclusion, arriving at the conclusion of Sinai is coming full circle to the two poles of Pesach and Shavuos, of Chametz and Matzah, right? Adam uvehema toshia Hashem. Someone has to have the capability, the capacity of being arumen bedas, of being fully developed in his consciousness, in his subjective consciousness, in his ability to analyze, in his ability to weigh, his ability to, right, to compare and contrast, to be completely developed in that, right? The osim atzmam ki behema, but also to be able to make oneself like an animal. Right? Completely nullified and completely, right? Be willing to take the leap. People that overthink don't leap. If you overthink, you don't leap. Right? And what characterizes the Jewish people is unbelievable. Right? It's not stam, it's not happenstance that the Jewish people have a reputation for being uniquely capable in the intellectual sphere. It's not a coincidence. Yeah? But the Jewish people are called ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. That's what characterizes the Jewish people. That they live in a perpetual state of emunah. So you might think it's tarte desatre. People that are so smart and so wise and so intellectually developed, these are the people that got to jump off a cliff for no reason. And the answer is yes, in Achanami. These are the people that will jump off a cliff because they know they're ensconced in the anani akovad as they're jumping. Yeah. And so there are rumen bedas. There are rumen bedas. But osim atzim kibayim. Yishar koch. Chazav. Chizku v'yam eslevavchem. Kol ha'miyachalim la'ashem.